So here we are. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. Isaiah's
restoration prophesied. We're looking at this first point here, Isaiah 59, the return of the Redeemer.
Verse 16, please, follow me.
He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him.
He put on righteousness as a breastplate.
This is the Messiah returning in judgment.
And a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, etc., etc.
Okay, fellow Bible students, how do you go for putting that verse in its context? Think about it.
I'll help you.
Here we have a returning Saviour who is a warrior. You know that breastplate of righteousness and so on that we read of in Ephesians. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is on that white horse. And now he's ready to make war, as it says in Revelation 19. And it's the end of the great tribulation. It's the end of the day of the Lord. And he will return and he will repay his enemies. Return, repay, and then reign.
The next thing that he does is the glory, his glory will be from the shining, rising of the sun. The Spirit of the Lord would raise in and conquer evil. Then the Redeemer will come to Zion.
What to do? To come to reign. Come to reign.
Set up his messianic kingdom. Dear beloved, that's what is the meaning of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11. With all due respect, it's not amalgamation into the church, but complete ethnic, national, spiritual restoration. Back into the presence of God in the nation of Israel. And then back to Romans chapter 11, and we're getting very close to the end now. Romans chapter 11, we find that in view of all of this, cast away by God, broken off as branches, they are enemies regarding the gospel, but greatly loved by God. Look, the last verse in our study notes. The last verse in our study notes after our picture, which we'll show you quickly as we close. I've loved you with an everlasting love, O Israel. O Israel, I will rebuild you. I will rebuild you. So, following Barry Horner, dear brother, beloved Barry Horner, and that wonderful phrase, Israel is God's beloved enemy. Israel is God's beloved enemy, based on this verse. God's made an unalterable pledge. Let's just hurry on now. God has made an unalterable pledge because the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They cannot be changed. In Psalm 89, when we read about the Davidic covenant, God said, I will not alter one word that has gone out of my mouth as regards covenant arrangements, and particularly the covenant with King David. We're waiting for King David's reign to be re-established back there in Jerusalem. Our Queen, Queen Elizabeth, is reigning at the moment, but a day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it's going to be the Davidic family that will perpetually be reigning on God's throne in Jerusalem. But here it says,
with David's covenant, I will not alter the words that have gone out of my mouth. Now, what are we going to do with these covenants of David? There's only one way that they can be broken.
Change the wording.
Make an amendment. You know, as you look at Parliament House there, and they're all squabbling there around those tables, you have all those books on the table. They're all the laws of Australia, and they're making amendments and adding laws and so on. Well, the Lord's not in that business.
He's not changing.
He's not rewording the covenant. They'll never change. The words will never change.
I will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Ah, someone said, yes, but they change their meaning. The words change their meaning. Israel means the church now. And so the words stay the same, but the words get different meanings. And so we have this alternative theology, covenant theology, and replacement theology that Israel becomes the church. We are separatists. We believe there's a distinction in the unified plan of God, a separation between Israel and the church. And of course, it's all one big program that's going to move forward in unity and when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. There's a concluding doxology which we read. Page 18, please. A concluding doxology. Praise and wonder of God's ways and strategies. Look what the Apostle Paul says here. God is the source of all things, for out from him and through him and unto him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we have God, the source of everything. He has it all under control. He hasn't been taken by surprise. The angels aren't asking for an interview and saying, look what's going on down there. Did you think about all of this? God has it under his control. It all emanates from him and his decrees. And he is the course. He is the agent. Through him, it all happens. He keeps it on course and allows mankind to have his freedom. But his sovereign will is fulfilled. And then, God is the goal of all things. Unto him is everything. So much for Israel's restoration and the branches being grafted in that we saw there. Now, just a couple of points. Some take-home truths. I don't know if your head is spinning like mine, but there's some things that we can take home, some very practical things. And here they are. Number one, what about giving praise to God? That's not a noun, that's a verb. Praise him. Yeah, give him glory. That's what happened to Paul. As he wrote this out, as led by the Lord, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of God. His breath is taken away. His ways are past finding out. If your doctrine doesn't lead you to worship and praise, it's dead. If your doctrine doesn't lead you to worship and praise, it's dead. Head knowledge. Not for Paul. Even this brought praise and wonder from God. And then pray. Because the Apostle Paul said, my prayer and heart's desire for Israel is, it just wasn't an academic dissertation. He's dealing with the purposes of God and what's going on. And he has a burden for his people. He said, I'll give my life for them. Lord, blot me out of the book of life so that they can go in. There's urgency there. Pray. Be moved about it, brothers and sisters. Be moved about it. With burden. Three. Propagate. Don't just sit there. Get going. Do something. Even if it's prayer. Even just taking up that prayer sheet. And say, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to pray for these people here. I'm going to pray for those that are in the eastern suburbs. I'm going to pray for others that I know. For Israel. Israel, the Gentiles, and the church. That's God's multi-purpose program. The Jew, the Gentiles, the church of God. We've got a lot to pray about. Do something about it. Get up and pray. How shall they hear? And then a lovely picture that I found on the internet. I love that. And the concluding verse, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Here in Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you again. I will build you, O Israel.
Yes, the branches will be restored. And there will be glory to God. Thank God we can draw on these. and find application ourselves. We know we can. These are the words to us also. But we don't want it. Do you want to take away promises that God has given to somebody? Do you want to take them away from them? No, I don't. What promises God has given to Israel, I'm happy for them to go to Israel. And I share in the blessing. And this is what God has said. We can't take away these promises. I've drawn you, I love you, and I will yet build you again. As one of our fellow elders used to say, considering such themes, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? Father, we thank you for this time. Write these things on our hearts. Move us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.